This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Photographer Myra Green spent many years taking self-portraits, exploring her own black identity. But after sharing these photographs with a friend, she realized that not everyone thinks about race as much as she does. So she decided to start asking her white friends, "What makes you feel white?" And 6 years later, this question became the center of a project called My White Friends. And these racial identity portraits are now on view at Duke's Center for Documentary Studies. And Myra Green joins us today to talk about how this project began. Hello, Myra. Good to talk with you.
Hello. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing well. So tell us about this conversation that spurred the project.
Well, a good friend of mine, Dan, we were just talking after a show, talking about how the work was received, the self-portraits. And we were just talking, I was just talking about race and how I thought about blackness and my face and how people view and judge me and how people thought about my photographs. And he was very kind and polite and in casual conversation just says, well, I just don't think about race that way. Or, and in some ways said, well, I love looking at pictures of you, but when I look at them, I become uncomfortable thinking about race. And it just started an honest conversation with friends about the situation. And in the end, it was, you know, I don't think about my whiteness. I don't think about whiteness in pictures. And in some ways, it kind of made me stop and think about, well, how do others view pictures about race? Or do they see race as often as I do? And so it became, you know, those moments when you just say challenge accepted. I said, okay, I'm going to try to figure out if I can make pictures that think about race and think about whiteness specifically. And so with him, he was the first photograph I took. I became really excited about seeing what does that look like in a photograph and how it envelops stereotypes and sort of ignores them at the same way. And it took a while. It took a few years to just sort of plot through different friends, traveling to see people and making some photographs.
Well, it's interesting when you take those photographs that way. I mean, you had been taking self-portraits to examine your identity as a black woman. Then what do you do as a photographer, as an artist, when the point is whiteness? What does that do to you? How do you frame the shot? Or what is it you're looking for? What is it you're trying not to see to make this photograph?
Well, when I was making portraits of myself, they were very much isolated. There was no environment. There was no place. They were sort of made in a void. They were just photographs of parts of my face. And so I kind of, when I started making the pictures about whiteness, I sort of looked at photo history and used that as a guide as to how people anthropologically look at others. And so things became important, the places where people were in, sort of the environments help inform what the pictures are about. So I use that parameter and that paradigm to sort of make new pictures. So I really started thinking about both the gesture that the people were holding and also the environments and the places and spaces in which they existed in. So it was an interesting combination. I mean, for the first picture of Dan, we made the photograph in a place that we spend a lot of time in, which was his backyard, where we had barbecues all the time. And I was always fascinated where we would have barbecues on his driveway. And there were just these series of white little houses sitting behind him or in the they were all driveways, but they looked like little houses. And that environment to me started to simulate the stereotype of like the white picket fences or suburbia with this guy just sort of barbecuing casually. So it's also, you know, and he's really comfortably sitting in his chair, owning his domain. And so it was, you know, the combination of both his comfortability in the photograph and in the space, as well as the environment in which the picture's organized around.
Well, you know, and in that shot, he's sitting there kind of the Weber kettle in the middle of the driveway, right?
Yeah.
which is a symbol of suburbia, but also the idea of barbecue. And I thought, if this was reversed, how comfortable would I look knowing if I were African-American sitting next to the barbecue, how much would I have to think about who else is going to see this and what are they going to think about the black man in the barbecue?
Right. I mean, the environments, they so play a part. And it's so easy to just sort of look at this picture and not dismiss it, but just sort of consider it normal, you know, and it's not a stereotype, but it has a lot of signs and symbols sort of embedded inside of it. And it's to me really an amusing way to start off the whole entire project.
What in your background got you interested in exploring this idea for yourself in the first place?
Well, I grew up in a diverse way, I guess. I grew up in Harlem, but went to high school on the Upper East Side. And from a really young age, from second grade, was the black girl in the class and had many white friends and had created many situations in which, you know, for parents that they had to explain race or, you know, situated race into a conversation. And so I'd always been conscious that I was black in those situations. And so it's just interesting to me that that is a part of my identity, while whiteness, you know, is not maybe something that was identified from such a young age. A few of the people in the project are people I've known from second to third grade, from second and third grade and through high school and college and such like that. And so all of the people on the project are people who I've had, extended racial conversations with, who've we've had racial experiences with, where things go down because of that. So it's just something that became really conscious and has been a part of our conversations for years. It's a part of our friendships.
What do you make of the fact that when you talk with a white friend, that the answer to the question, you know, what do you think about your whiteness is I don't.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that answer. I think that that's the way some have been socialized to think about race, that, you know, whiteness is not necessarily always visible. It's just sometimes I think it's difficult to have conversations about race when race is not recognized by all communities. And so one of the point of this project is to say, well, you don't always have to talk about otherness. Talking about whiteness is just important because it helps you understand the issues involved with other racialized communities. Mm. The idea for some people when I asked them about this project and I said, oh, can I photograph you? And, you know, good friends know what I do, know who I am. And they're like, oh, sure. Why? I would never think I'd fit into anything you're working on. I'm like, oh, I just need you because you're white. And sort of that, for some people, was the first time they've been identified to do something for their racial identity. And it caused pause or humor or extended conversation. And then all of a sudden it would come out in the fray, like, well, what do I wear to look white? Or how do I sit to look white? And it's an interesting kind of like, I don't know. I can't help you.
Come
with
as
that
you
one.
Are. Yeah.
Exactly. Just well, if you show up, we will be able to achieve this.
You're going
to
have 90% of it right there. But there is another aspect to this. So let's talk about a few of the photographs. We've already talked about one, but then we have a woman golfer, for instance. Tell us about that one.
That's a photograph of my friend Donnie here in Chicago. And we had developed a friendship over the last 5 or 6 years. And I had told her that I wanted to photograph her, but I hadn't really imagined where or how. And that sort of is part of the process. And so one day we were just sitting and talking about sports. We play volleyball together. And she was telling me about all the sports she plays. And she goes, oh, and I golf. And I said, oh, I've never golfed. She goes, well, I grew up in Utah. And in Utah, it was important to have pink clothing because, you know, you really wanted to be feminine on the golf course, and started this long, elaborate story about the accoutrements of golf. And I just sat there and I go, that is kind of the whitest thing I've ever heard. And she just looked at me, I think I know what your picture is. And so just one fateful Saturday afternoon, we went out to the diversity putting range or driving range and made this photograph where she's facing the camera with her lovely pink panther, pink golfing bag and the right plaid skirt and visor facing the camera. And what I love about that picture, and behind her is the driving range and all the balls sort of dotting the green lawn. But what was funny about the picture is that this was happening in an active driving range. And so people really couldn't figure out what was going on and if she was famous, but she wasn't famous. But then why is this black woman making these pictures? And then I, for the first time, actually drove a golf club and surprisingly did very well. And so keeps trying to get me to golf with her. And I keep saying no. We now play tennis.
You just need to get fitted for that pink outfit and you're all set.
Well, maybe if I had the shoes.
That story is as much about gender, though, it seems to me, as about race, right?
It is. And I think that there are these, there are other, you know, all of this gender and I think sexuality, I think all this stuff is sort of in class. I think all of these things are interrelated into each other and are played out in different ways, you know. I think class is a major part of this that is seen and unseen in a lot of the photographs.
The posture and poses in some of these are interesting. I'm looking at the photograph of a young guy with a tie on. He's standing. He's sort of ramrod straight, I'd say, in front of a car. Tell us about that one.
That's another photograph here in Chicago of my friend Matt. He's a very somewhat shy person, but really hysterical. And he also teaches at Chicago Public High School. And I would never see him after work, but I had sort of imagined what a CPS teacher would wear to school. And I said, I'll just make your photograph, like before you drop your bag off, before you do anything, I'll just meet you at your car and we'll make these pictures. And it was, the light was falling. Yeah. And I was just really interested in how drab the light was and then how drab his outfit was and the car. Yeah. And it sort of made this synergy of color of like these grays and greens and blues. And as much as I asked him to relax, there was something about the way he wanted to stand in that photograph that was very straight. And when you combine that and he's blonde and he has this very particular haircut, it just sort of made a very elegant picture for me, even though that's not the way I would necessarily describe his personality. I know him, he's really tells a lot of one-liners, really funny, really quick-witted. And so I think there's a description to me as to like the expectation of what the picture should look like. But which he's trying to perform, but then there's just the things around him that are describing him, in terms of color, in terms of light, that sort of shift the meaning of that.
Well, and all of that, I think that story gets at the collaborative nature of this. You weren't just snapping these sort of photographs of people. In fact, you call them not portraits, but co-constructions. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I think there's a way in which I don't really think of any of these photographs as pure descriptions of any of my friends. I wouldn't say, oh, this really is just the way they should be described. I think they are segmented small slivers of something they may be at one moment in time. And so when I went to make the pictures, we would, there would be conversations, what would I wear? What should I wear? Or where should these pictures happen? And sometimes I would talk through about like the things I was thinking about with them particularly. And at home, I think about the stereotypical, signs of whiteness or descriptions of whiteness. And I think about some of those issues and play them up. And sometimes people would say, well, I want to be described as this, or we'd start with one idea and end up at a very different picture just because of this, again, the surroundings and the color and the light. And so I feel like when you say portraits to most people, they think there's this sort of truthfulness about that description in the picture. And so I say that they're more performative because they're not the the idea is not to describe these people. The project is not like the description of my friends. It's my white friends. It's prioritizing the description of whiteness over the description of the people.
Right. And it does suggest that all race has to be performed because it's not real. Yeah. It's a social construction that helps keep some kind of order that favors somebody. I'm not quite sure who. But So let me ask you about this, though. Another great shot, I think, is the guy on the park bench with a hoodie.
Nathaniel. There are two, if I can talk about two pictures, there are two pictures that I think are really performative in very odd ways. And they're two male friends of mine who I met teaching in summer camp when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And one of them is Nathaniel. And that's a picture in which we'll ask him. I think he's slightly frustrated because everyone is very recognizable. And because of the hoodie, it's pulled over his eyes. People don't know it's him. And so he gets frustrated because, like, people don't know I'm in your project. And I'm like, okay, that's not the point of this. But there's this idea that I had, like the anonymous white man that I see on the train, or when men wear hoodies or ascribe to parts of hip hop culture, there's a description of them that is both particular, that their style makes them anonymous, and so I was really, as I know him very well, and he always wears those hoodies, and I just always think about how different it is when you can't see the face. And so there are a couple of photographs that I'm really interested in, sort of that anonymity in terms of white males. And I in my mind was also thinking about how that also transfers to Black culture as well. Like if you see a group of Black men and they have hoods on, like you, it's the anonymous Black male. And in Black males, that's seen as threatening. As in white males, I can find that to be threatening at times, but most people don't. But that's a side note. So
let me ask you how your friends responded to their own image. Did it change their perception of their whiteness or make them conscious of it?
I think the process of making the picture made them conscious of it. And then when they saw the photographs, they often said, well, this, I don't love this picture of me, but I understand how it's a description of what you're doing. And so they recognized the description of whiteness and not sort of that understanding of the portrait.
Did it change any of your ideas about racial construction, about Black identity, white identity?
I think it sort of drove the idea about the construction of it all and how photography sort of is this wonderful place of construction. Just sort of like how photography makes you believe in a truth, but is actually just its own construction in and of itself. And so that's what I really enjoyed about the project. It did make me think about my Blackness at times and how I fall in and out of stereotype in and of myself, you know, the sports I play, the activities, the music I listen to, both being a part of that racial construct and outside of that racial construct, and for them as well. And so I think it was a playful experience for all of us, in which we all learned a little bit.
Great to talk with you. Thank you so much, Myra.
Thank you so much.
Myra Green, photographer whose project My White Friends is currently on view at Duke Center for Documentary Studies. Exhibit's up through mid-May, and she's going to give an artist talk at the center 6 o'clock tomorrow night. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Modafferi, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley, our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.